a Contra Podcast Conversations for the curious essential knowledge simplified, your gateway to essential ideas that matter most. This audio summary has been prepared with the help of a Contra AI. Welcome back to the deep dive. Okay, let's be honest. If you're anything like me, your brain feels like it has, 12 tabs open all the time, phone buzzing, endless to-do list. It's overwhelming.
It really is. That feeling is almost universal now, isn't it?
Right. So today, we're diving into something that feels like a necessary antidote. It's The One Thing, Focus for Extraordinary Results by Gary Keller and Jay Papasan.
And it hits that core problem head on. We are just drowning in things we could be doing. There's this myth that doing more, juggling more makes you better.
The multitasking badge of honor.
Exactly. But this deep dive matters because Keller and Papasan offer something really different. It's a simple, almost radically simple way to filter everything, to cut through all that noise.
They basically say, forget busyness. Focus is where it's at.
Precisely. And success comes from, well, extreme focus.
I love their main idea, that core metaphor they use. It's so visual. Success isn't simultaneous, it's sequential. Like dominoes.
Ah, the dominoes, yes.
You don't stare at the giant domino way at the end. You just figure out the very first one, the lead domino.
Knock that one over.
And it sets off the chain reaction.
Yeah.
Right? It gives you the momentum for the next and the next until even the biggest goals fall. That first domino, that's your one thing.
It's such a powerful image. And what really lends weight to this, I think, is Gary Keller himself, the lead author.
Yeah, tell us about him. He's not just some theorist, is he?
Not at all. He's the co-founder, the executive chairman of Keller Williams Realty.
Which is massive, right? The largest real estate company globally by agent count.
That's the one. So his credibility comes from, well, actually doing this stuff, building a huge company from basically a single office.
So he lived these principles. He didn't just write about them in theory.
Exactly. These are the operating principles they used to scale up.
Right.
It's all forged in the real world, high stakes competition, results you can actually measure, you know?
Makes a difference.
It really does. It feels less like self-help and more like a practical playbook.
Mm-hmm.
And Jay Papasan, the co-author, helped distill it all down into this clear system.
Okay, so let's get into that system. The central idea, it really does require a bit of a mental shift, doesn't it?
It absolutely does.
The book claims, pretty boldly, that getting extraordinary results is directly tied to how narrow you can make your focus. Doing less, but better.
Leveraging your effort, finding the few things that really move the needle. And the whole thing pivots around what they call the focusing question.
Ah, yes, the question.
This is the tool, the filter, to find that lead domino. You have to keep asking yourself this over and over. What's the one thing I can do?
Go on.
Such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary.
That last part is key, isn't it? Easier or unnecessary. It forces you to eliminate things, not just prioritize them.
Totally. It's not just what's important. It's what makes other stuff irrelevant. It's like the Pareto principle, the 80-20 rule on steroids. Find that vital 20% that gives you 80% of the results.
So how does the book help you actually use that question effectively?
Yeah.
It's not just about asking it once, right?
Right. The book's structured really cleverly. First, it makes you confront these mental roadblocks, the things that keep us distracted. They call them the six lies.
The lies that sabotage us.
You have to dismantle those first. Then, once you see through the lies, you can actually implement the truth, which is the whole one thing system. Moving from just being busy to being purposefully productive.
Okay, let's tackle those lies.
Uh-huh.
Lie number one must be the big one, multitasking. We wear it like a badge of honor.
Oh, absolutely. We think we're great at it. But the science, it just doesn't hold up. Our brains literally can't do two demanding things at once.
It's more like swishing back and forth really fast.
Exactly. Task switching. And every time you switch, there's a cost. You lose time, you make more errors, and crucially, you burn through your mental energy way faster.
So deep work, real focus on one thing. That's the only way for complex stuff.
Pretty much. We're kidding ourselves thinking we can effectively juggle five things. That realization alone is huge.
Okay, what's lie number two? The disciplined life. This idea that successful people have like superhuman self-control all the time.
Right. This 24/7 iron will, but they argue that's just, well, it's not sustainable. And maybe not even needed.
Really? So you don't need constant discipline?
They talk about selective discipline. You only need enough discipline for long enough to build a specific important habit.
How long is long enough?
The research they cite suggests around 66 days on average. just enough to get that one key habit set.
And once it's a habit.
It runs on autopilot, right? It doesn't drain your willpower anymore. So you use that limited discipline strategically to build one habit at a time.
That makes it feel much more achievable, not this endless struggle.
Exactly. It's a temporary investment, not a permanent state.
Which leads right into line number three. Willpower is always on call. Like, we have an unlimited supply.
Yeah, we treat it like it's just always there when we need it. But it's definitely not. It's finite. Like a phone battery.
Okay, I get that analogy.
Every decision you make, big or small, what to eat, check email, resist a distraction, it drains that battery.
So by late afternoon?
Your willpower is low. Your ability to focus, to make good choices, it's seriously depleted. Decision fatigue is real.
Which explains why they say protect your mornings.
Absolutely. Schedule your one thing first thing when that willpower battery is fully charged, before the day drains it.
Okay, so we've busted the myths. No multitasking, discipline is selective, willpower is limited. Now what? How do we use the focusing question strategically?
This is where they bring in goal setting to the now. It's basically working backward from your biggest ambition.
Like reverse engineering your life.
Kinda, yeah. You start with a really big someday goal, your ultimate purpose maybe. Then you ask the focusing question. Okay, to get there, what's the one thing I need to nail in the next 5 years?
Okay.
Then what's the one thing this year, this month, this week, today, right now?
Ah, so it creates a direct line from the big dream down to what you need to do, like, immediately.
Exactly. An unbroken chain. Your someday goal connected directly to your right now one thing.
Makes a big goal feel less daunting. And how do you actually do that right now thing? That's where the execution comes in.
Yes, and this is probably the toughest part for most people, time blocking.
Right. Yeah. Blocking out actual dedicated time for the one thing. They recommend, what, 4 hours?
Every morning? 4 hours, yeah. Uninterrupted.
Wow. That sounds difficult. In a real office or even working from home with constant pings?
It is difficult. It's the biggest hurdle. But they argue it's completely non-negotiable. If you don't block the time, the urgent stuff will always, always swamp the important stuff.
Why 4 hours specifically?
It seems to be based on research around deep work. It just takes time to really sink into something complex and get into that productive flow state. Less than that, and you're constantly restarting.
Okay, but the reality check. I block 4 hours. Then the emails pile up. My colleague needs a quick question. A meeting pops up.
Yeah.
How do you defend that time?
You have to treat that time block like the most important appointment you have, period. More important than anything else.
More important than a client meeting, really.
That's the level of commitment they say is needed. You might need to change your environment, turn off notifications, literally put up a sign. Be ruthless about protecting it.
Because that's where the extraordinary results actually happen.
That's the idea. If 4 hours is impossible, block what you can consistently defend.
Wow.
But aim for four.
Okay, which brings us to the things that try to steal that time. They call them the four thieves of focus. Thief number one hits home for me. The inability to say no.
Oh, that's a huge one, especially in collaborative workplaces. Saying yes feels helpful, right?
Yeah, you want to be a team player.
But every time you say yes to something that isn't your one thing, you're implicitly saying no to your one thing, and you can't get that time back.
So how do you say no without being difficult?
You learn polite ways to decline or defer or delegate. Maybe just check the focusing question first. Will doing this make my one thing easier or unnecessary? Usually the answer is a clear no.
Good filter.
Oh.
Okay, thief number two, fear of temporary chaos. If I focus hard on this, then that pile of admin work will just grow. It feels messy.
You have to be okay with some messiness in the non-essential areas for a while. Intentional chaos, they call it. Breakthroughs require intense focus, and focus inevitably creates temporary imbalance.
Gotta trust the process, I guess. And the last two thieves, they're more internal, right?
Exactly. Focus isn't just about scheduling, it's biological. Thief three is poor health habits. If you're tired, eating badly, you won't have the energy or willpower to focus or defend your time block.
Makes sense.
And thief four is an unsupportive environment. If the people or the place around you don't respect your need for focus, they'll constantly undermine it. You have to actively shape your surroundings.
So one thing that really jumped out at me from the book was this idea about balance. We're all chasing work-life balance, but Keller says that's like a myth. and maybe even bad for results.
Yeah, it's pretty countercultural. They argue for counterbalance, not perfect, simultaneous balance.
Counterbalance. How does that work?
Think of it like intentionally leaning hard in one direction for a period to achieve something extraordinary. Maybe you go all in on a work project knowing other things will slide a bit.
Creating intentional imbalance.
Exactly. But then, and this is crucial, you have to deliberately swing the pendulum back, intensely focus on family or health or whatever needs attention to replenish those areas.
So life isn't about staying perfectly centered all the time, but more like actively managing where your focus goes, sometimes intensely.
Precisely. It's a dynamic juggling act, not a static state of equilibrium. It actually feels more realistic, doesn't it?
It really does. Takes some pressure off. Another big theme was about thinking big. We sometimes shy away from huge goals because they feel intimidating.
Yeah, there's this sort of cultural idea that aiming too high is arrogant or something, but the book really pushes back on that.
They say thinking big is essential.
Absolutely. Big goals inspire bigger actions. They create more value, more possibilities. And the whole one thing framework is designed to make those big goals feel achievable.
Because you break it down.
Right. When you know how to connect that huge someday vision all the way down to the very specific right now action, that massive goal doesn't seem so scary anymore. It's just the next domino.
Which brings us right back to that core idea. Success is sequential. It's the domino effect in action, day by day.
One thing done well builds the foundation for the next. It's rarely about doing everything at once. Think about major achievements. They're usually a series of focused sprints, right?
Yeah, like J.K. Rowling just focusing on finishing that first book. Or an athlete focusing intensely on one season, one race.
Exactly. Okay, the book has some really memorable lines that kind of encapsulate the whole philosophy. We should probably revisit the most important one, the question itself.
Yes, let's hear it again. Everyone listening, try to really absorb this.
Yeah.
What's the one thing I can do?
Such that by doing it, everything else will be easier or unnecessary. It's the ultimate filter. Finds the leverage, demands elimination.
And what about the one on discipline? The one that reframes that whole struggle?
Ah, yes. Success is actually a short race, a sprint fueled by discipline, just long enough for habit to kick in and take over.
I love that. Discipline is a temporary tool, not a permanent burden. Makes it feel possible.
Totally. And then there's the quote that brings in the counterbalance idea, the reminder about what's truly important outside of work.
The one about the balls.
That's the one. Work is a rubber ball. The other balls, family, health, friends, integrity, are made of glass.
Oof. That hits hard. If you drop the work ball, it bounces back. If you drop the glass ones,
they shatter. It's that critical reminder to consciously swing the pendulum back and protect those non-negotiable parts of life.
Okay, let's make this super practical for everyone listening. How can you use this, say, tomorrow morning at work?
First step, ask the focusing question before you dive into email or urgent tasks.
Good point. Stop the reactive cycle.
Yeah. So maybe you're a marketing manager constantly swamped with little requests. Ask the question, what's the one thing I can do? Maybe the answer is using your four-hour block to create a killer FAQ document or automate a workflow.
So doing that one thing eliminates dozens of future interruptions.
Exactly. It makes maybe 80% of those little questions unnecessary. That's leverage. Frees up huge amounts of time later.
And it applies to personal goals too, right? Like health and fitness.
Absolutely. Don't try to change diet, exercise, sleep, meditation, everything all at once. That's a recipe for failure.
Pick one domino.
Maybe your one thing is just getting a consistent sleep schedule locked down first. Because good sleep gives you the energy and willpower.
To then tackle the next domino, like exercise or better food choices. It's sequential.
One habit builds momentum for the next.
I think the biggest shift here is changing what we value. Moving away from valuing busyness, just feeling active and overwhelmed.
To valuing actual productiveness. Mm. Getting meaningful stuff done in those focused blocks. It actually reduces stress in the long run, even if it requires more discipline up front.
Yeah, definitely. For me, the biggest takeaway is that permission to be unbalanced almost. The relief from thinking I have to be amazing at everything all at the same time. Focusing on one thing feels manageable.
Yeah, I agree. And for me, it's that shift from addition thinking, always asking, what else can I add to my plate, to subtraction thinking.
Ooh, I like that, subtraction thinking.
Yeah, asking, what can I take away? What can I eliminate or postpone so I actually have the space to nail the one thing? That feels really powerful.
So the final thought for you listening, Maybe the most lasting insight is just how simple it can be. Clarity doesn't always come from complex systems.
Sometimes it just comes from asking one simple, powerful question over and over again. That habit, asking the focusing question, that's what creates a sustainable way to stay focused, no matter what life throws at you.
See you next time with another remarkable thinker, another powerful book, and another idea that has shaped our world. This audio summary is brought to you by Ekatra Foundation.